Hello, welcome to the second episode of the NFL Draft Podcast. I'm here, Rob DeRay.
Stan Tellewe, I'm here. What's going on? Lot to get to. I'm excited. I'm still happy from last week's episode, and I'm still thinking about some of those movies that we talked about. But yeah, let's
jump. The Light Between the Oceans didn't quite make our list. Have you seen this?
No.
Michael Fassbender is on a lighthouse. Like, that's where he lives. And that's the one where he actually lived there for 5 weeks by himself, just putting coal in the oven. Some method acting that they made him do.
Is that the one where they find a baby or something like that?
Yeah, they found a baby and they're going to, like, steal the baby.
Gotcha.
This is the NFL Draft Podcast, so we're going to be talking mostly about NFL Draft.
Right?
If you stick around, wait till the end.
It should get fun.
We're going to give you a little mock draft. Some of our current artists and what Beatles song they would most like to cover. We'll give you plenty of warning that football talk is going to end and you can shut the podcast off if you have no interest.
Or you can just fast forward to that if that's what you're into.
Probably most of you. That would be a better decision. But we're going to talk about a few things. We're going to do quarterbacks this week. And first, we're going to start off with some of the 2016 NFL draft guys and kind of check in. This will get more interesting as they actually produce during the season.
Yep.
But we had two pretty notable injuries since the last time we recorded.
Yeah.
Tony Romo.
And, Teddy Bridgewater.
Changes the outlook of things for a few other of those draftees.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. Let's start with the Cowboys. Tony Romo gets hurt. He's out 6 to 10 weeks.
Obviously, Dak Prescott, first guy.
Yeah.
He's going to be a starter.
Very impressive in preseason, right. But at the same time, you know, he's playing against twos and threes.
He had a chance to play against some ones.
Yeah. And, I mean, even against Seattle, there was some, you know, the entire Seattle defense kept playing through in the second half when they played Seattle. And Prescott was serviceable. He was okay.
We touched on this last week. How did you like Prescott coming out?
I mean, I said it last week. Mississippi State, you know, you don't really see him a lot, especially his last year at Mississippi State. He was more of a team guy and less of a numbers guy. Well, if you look at his junior year tape, he was much more dynamic, put up slightly better numbers, and he was just. I think he looked better in his junior year than his senior year, which explains why he slipped to the fourth round.
He was definitely a better college quarterback his junior year. He was the 90th ranked player on my board.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had him a third rounder, could have slipped to the fourth. He had the DUI, didn't help. One thing that I just loved about Prescott, though, is the jump that he made from his junior year to his senior year in terms of the tools, reworked his mechanics, reworked his footwork and his ability to stand in the pocket and make throws on third down, third and long. The improvement was dramatic. It didn't help Mississippi State because Mississippi State really benefited from him quick on the run, gaining yards, throwing to running backs out of the backfield really quick and letting them do work. So I think it actually hurt their offense other than, in addition to, their offense had a little less talent his senior year, and his defense wasn't quite as good.
What are they going to ask him to do now that Romo's out? I mean, he's not going to step in and lead this team.
I think that I really like the way Scott Linehan calls plays for Dallas. I've liked that for, I think, 2 years now, since that first year with Murray. I think they're, first of all, going to run the ball. And off of that, they're going to change. They're not going to have him doing complex reads like Tony Romo and seven-step drops. They're going to throw those run-pass options into the playbook, something that Dallas never did with Romo.
Right.
And it really helps having, for Dak Prescott, he has Jason Witten, who is probably the best like security blanket in the league in terms of just being able to get open over the middle of the field. And he has Dez Bryant. And you could do a lot worse than heaving the ball to Dez Bryant in hopefully one-on-one coverage that you'll get because of the strength of that running game.
Not to mention that, you know, monster O-line, and he's got a very good running back, even though he's a rookie, which, you know, is a good transition to talk about Ezekiel Elliott.
Rookie report.
Yeah, right. That's what we're doing, right?
Perfect. Ezekiel Elliott.
I think if anybody benefits from Tony Romo going down, it's Ezekiel Elliott and my fantasy football team. I mean, I think it's perfect that you could have slotted him in for 1,200, 1,300 yards and 10 touchdowns anyway. Now that you know, Romo's down. They're going to run the ball more. You know, he's going to get the ball out of the backfield a lot. Even though he's splitting the carries with Alfred Morris
if
and DeMarco Murray.
If he splits the carries. And Darren McFadden.
Right, and Darren McFadden. You know, he's still the lead back, and he's still going to benefit. So I think, you know, I don't think that the Cowboys are going to be as good or better, obviously. I think, you know, if you're talking about Tony Romo coming back, you know, conservatively,
after the bye, probably week 8 would be the earliest.
Right. That team.
I think they have the bye week 7.
That's a 5-6 win team, maybe. You know, like, because, I mean, I don't think they were going to be amazing anyway because they have the worst defense in football.
But they don't have the worst defense in football.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
It's not the worst. They're not New Orleans.
No. But they're pretty bad.
But the offense had a lot of potential. I think with Zeke particularly, I don't think that the raw numbers will be worse. I think they actually might be better. The efficiency will probably be worse without
yards per carry. Yeah,
yards per carry. But then again, if Dak Prescott can come in and give you that, you know, pull that threat to mm-hmm. pull the ball and run for 10 yards,
that's true.
Not only does overall efficiency of the offense work increase, but we've seen it time and time again. A lot of running backs who are comfortable in that shotgun system that Zeke Elliott is definitely comfortable in, mm-hmm. coming from Urban Meyer's scheme, they actually see an improvement in their efficiency, mm-hmm. just based on the fact that that's one less defender that's worried about them because there's a guy on the backside who's waiting for Dak to pull it in and keep it. So I actually think that at the very least, Ezekiel Elliott's yards per carry goes down, and he might get a couple more touches than he would have.
Mm-hmm.
Best case scenario, this might work out for him, even if it doesn't work out for the Cowboys.
And even when Romo comes back, he's going to come back. He comes back after the bye, week 8, whatever, whenever it is. Even if it's the full 10 weeks and he comes back, you know, week 11, he's going to want to get out there, whatever the Cowboys' record is. I can't foresee a situation where they shut him down for the season. But even then, I don't think that Elliott's workload will go down very much because, I mean,
Romo will want to use his toys too.
Yeah. I think this is best case scenario for Cowboys rookies. If you're a Cowboy rookie, I think this is best case
scenario. Yeah, we're going to know what you are right away.
Yeah, yeah.
How about the Vikings? Really the only rookie that this tremendously affects is going to be Laquon Treadwell, not going to have his quarterback.
Well, at the same, I don't know if it was going to affect him anyway because the way this preseason has been going, he's already down to what, third on the depth chart. So, you know, he's under Charles Johnson and Stephon Diggs.
Hasn't been roses for Treadwell starting off, but then again, you know, it kind of hasn't been ever. Like, he's not going to be that speed guy. Mm-hmm. He's not going to be that wide open guy. You throw him up the ball and he goes and gets it. He's a tough player.
Right.
He's definitely worthy of the first round pick the Vikings spent on him.
I don't know if the Bridgewater injury affects him too much. I think Sean Hill is a capable quarterback. I think, you know, he's been around the league for a long time. He's 36 years old. The year that he was in Detroit and Matthew Stafford went down, he played well enough. You know, he's not going to lose you any games, but he's not going to go out and, you know, win you a Super Bowl. So I think a guy like Treadwell, it's really on him to put up the numbers that he would put up, whether, you know, it was Teddy Bridgewater or Sean Hill. So I think, I don't know if it affects him tremendously.
It probably stunts his long-term growth, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Not, like, dramatically that he'll never be what he was because of Bridgewater getting injured.
But
in terms of his future with the Vikings,
absolutely.
Getting accustomed to Teddy Bridgewater, you know, if Teddy Bridgewater misses the season, Treadwell comes back next year as part of a number of weapons, mm-hmm. and he has to go through another offseason. Earning Bridgewater's trust that he never had a chance to earn this year.
Yeah, the opportunity to gel, they're going to lose that, and you know that. Yeah, long term, it'll probably have something of an effect. But at the same time, I think they've already kind of got a rapport so far. They've gotten to know each other obviously since April. So I think there's something there, but it really all depends on how long Bridgewater's out. I think if Bridgewater's, I mean, if the as bad as this injury is, they're saying, if he's out all of this year and part of next year, you know, that's a long time to not be with your quarterback of the future.
Right. Plus missing all the workouts, not off-season workouts, but going to Bridgewater's house, mm-hmm. and training and running routes.
Yeah.
Really quick. Joey Bosa just signed. What is his outlook for the 2016 season?
Personally, I think, you know, to miss 3 weeks of preseason, minicamp, OTAs and all that stuff, and just being around, I don't know where he was, being in the locker room, and I don't think he has a big impact this year. I think that all that time missed, he's got to play catch up, and, you know, as talented as he is, and you could just put him on the line and say, just get after it. But I'm curious about conditioning. I'm curious about, you know, learning the playbook and you know, if he comes in and plays half the defensive snaps all year, I don't think that's too bad. I think that's doable, but I don't know what the numbers are going to be coming from that kind of production.
Just wanted to counterpoint. I don't want to speculate on what his relationship will be with the coaches in terms of earning their trust, mm-hmm. what his relationship is going to be with his teammates, which could be a problem. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they care. I don't know if they don't care. San Diego was talking about, oh, we're going to use Joey Bosa, so you just wait and see. We're going to line him up like in the interior of the D-line. We're going to line him up on the edge. We're going to have him play stand-up linebacker. You know, we're going to make him drop into coverage and be a do-everything kind mm-hmm. of monster, which he's number three pick. Great. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's better for Joey Bosa to spend a year, hey, we didn't get a chance to play yet linebacker. We didn't get a chance to teach you to do anything. Why don't you just go try to abuse a couple of right tackles mm-hmm. and get your footing in the league? Hey, I think just maybe. It's never great to miss a whole chunk of time, even if the Chargers were being, you know, a-holes about it.
Right.
But
could he get double-digit sacks?
It's possible. Probably not, because you think he's a 3-4 end who's not named J.J. Watt. It's going to be tough. But if any rookie was going to do it playing mm-hmm. that position, it was going to be Bosa. We're going to jump ahead to the next year's group. I know that's really why we're here. We're going to talk about some quarterbacks. Quarterback time. We're marrying two exercises. Who are the best quarterbacks in the 2017 NFL Draft? Which we talked about a little last week with the preseason all prospect team, but we're going to go a little deeper here. And the other thing is we're going to try to figure out who might need a quarterback and might be looking at someone in the first, second, third rounds when you're drafting someone you expect to eventually start. The number one team that, without a doubt, it should be in the quarterback market come next April.
It's got to be the 49ers.
I think the 49ers, they have Colin Kaepernick is worn out his welcome. Political stances aside, he just has not been good.
Right. It's been 2 years, yeah.
And Blaine Gabbert is Blaine Gabbert. He would have to do what Kirk Cousins did last year for the Redskins in order to even be considered to come back in 2017.
And I don't think Blaine Gabbert will do that, obviously, because you look at what Kirk Cousins did. He had much better weapons all around than what Blaine Gabbert has in San Francisco. I mean, yeah, they got Torrey Smith, I think, and I who knows? I can't even think of who their number two or three receivers are right now. So,
not to mention, think about how well Nick Foles played under Chip Kelly, mm-hmm. and Nick Foles got traded for Sam Bradford.
Absolutely, right? Absolutely.
Chip Kelly's going to take credit for that performance, so if he resurrects Gabbert's career, that doesn't mean that he's in love with Blaine Gabbert or right. doesn't think he could do better with the next guy.
He would just go out and get the guy he wants and, you know, transitioning into, you know, what they would do in the draft. If they're that bad, and they probably will be, they'll be drafting in the top three, maybe even top five. Deshaun Watson is the guy that would likely be their pick.
He is the consensus best quarterback available. Brad Kaya of Miami has his supporters. You and I both picked Brad Kaya as the best prospect coming in, even if both of us thought that by a hair. But Watson, he kind of has a bigger arm. He has a longer history of production at Clemson.
Absolutely.
Kaya still hasn't really put together a good stretch of games, let alone a good season.
Right.
Watson in Chip Kelly's offense, I know Watson's not necessarily a pure runner, like Mariota was, but right. Just the threat is enough to make that offense a little more dangerous.
Right, and I look at the difference between Deshaun Watson and Brad Kaya is really it's slim, but what Watson brings to the table is, you know, he's a dynamic playmaker. Whether it's with his arm or with his legs, you know, he's the kind of guy where, you know, Kaya won't lose you in the games, you won't take it to the Super Bowl right away, but obviously I don't think Watson will do that anyway, but I think he's just a little bit more dynamic,
yeah.
And I think Chip Kelly likes that.
For example, let's say they win their way to 8 games or however many games out of the Watson-Kaya sweepstakes. Baker Mayfield's not likely to come out in this draft. He has the extra year of eligibility. He's a little undersized, and people aren't sold on him. But whether it's in the middle, late first round, or second round, if Mayfield's there, I actually think he's kind of more of a perfect fit for what Kelly wants to do, where he has the threat to run, but he doesn't really have the speed to be considered a running quarterback. What he does so well is he makes his decisions so quick, and especially in the intermediate, hopefully with enough arm strength to get the ball downfield, that the 49ers could look at him maybe a little later in the draft if they can't get the guy they love right at the top.
I didn't think about Mayfield, you know, at all with this, because I, you know,
assume they're going to be right at the top.
Not only that, but I also figured, you know, the way people talk about Mayfield is that he might just stay another year at Oklahoma. He's still young. I didn't realize how young he was. He was 21.
He's 21.
So he's got that extra year of eligibility. Even if he comes out at 23, he's still the right age for a fifth-year senior. So I didn't think about him because I don't think he's coming out. But I think if one of the guys that, you know, if the Niners want to, you know, shore up some other areas of their team early on, maybe a guy like Josh Dobbs, they could look at later on. He's not very similar to Watson and Mayfield, but what I think Josh Dobbs is a very good quarterback, and I don't think a lot of people watch Tennessee football to know that, and I think he could be one of those sleeper guys.
Some people really like him because he's got a gun, he's big, and he's a bull of a runner. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a running quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
In Chip Kelly's offense, where a lot of that has come from quick decisions and getting the ball out, he's going to need a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, look at what happened we were earlier talking about Prescott, the jump he made from a junior to senior year in terms of. He didn't get better as a quarterback, college quarterback, but he made strides towards becoming an NFL quarterback.
Right.
Who's to say that Dobbs doesn't make similar ones?
And he's got a way better team around him.
Before we get the next group of teams that we're going to talk about, all technically have a quarterback that they are somewhat invested in, but could easily get out of those contracts, assuming that they're bad.
Okay.
The Browns, everyone is assuming that they're going to be bad.
They always take a quarterback. They're always bad. They always take a quarterback. And, you know, at first I didn't really think about them as that team because I do like RG3 and I think he's going to be good and I think it's a good fit because, you know, he's playing necessarily with a chip, you know, pretty much with a chip on his shoulder. He's got a really good, sneaky good receiving core. You know, we talked about that before with Coleman and, you know, 12 potential games of Josh Gordon and
Terrell Pryor. If he puts anything together.
Right, so... Gary Barnage. I think the Browns have the pieces to be good. Even Duke Johnson, I think, if he can stay healthy, can put together a nice
Miami
season.
Guy. Exactly. Look who we're talking about.
Why wouldn't I bring him up?
It's almost ridiculous that there are two people talking about the NFL draft on a podcast, and we're both kind of high on the Browns, specifically because we're both high on RG3. Like, that should be a position that I'm the only person in America like taking that. Like, hey, don't you remember, like, am I the only one who studied film of him at Baylor and was just like, this guy would be the number one pick in any other draft with the exception of the one that Andrew Luck is in. Just remembering the joy that it brought me to look at his Baylor film and thinking about Watson and Kaya and all these other quarterbacks. And I'm like, if RG3 was in this draft, we wouldn't be talking about Watson or Kaya. We'd only be talking about RG3. Now, he's had the injuries. Not only has he had the injuries, but when he's not been injured the last 2 years, anytime he's been on the field, it's been a horror show. So I get why people are giving up on him. I think he has to win 6 games with his Browns team to even consider keeping his job, just for the fact that that's enough games that they won't have a chance to draft the top quarterback they want. And I think that the ownership knows that 6-10 would be a pretty tremendous season, given the talent.
Right.
But
I think it's ridiculous to think that this Redskins team, I mean, this Browns team, can't win six games. They're too talented not to win six.
Their defense is awful. Like you just called the Cowboys a 5-6 or 6-win team because of their defense. The Browns defense is going to be way worse than the Cowboys.
That's true. But I just don't know.
They lost their right tackle in Mitchell Schwartz, so now their offensive line is Joe Thomas, maybe Joe Bitonio, and they lost Alex Mack and kind of nobody else.
Right.
They're running backs. Great for Duke Johnson. He adds an element to the passing game. He's not going to be like some kind of bell cow.
Didn't they lose Isaiah Crowell as well?
I think Crowell's still there, but he's not like he's anything to write home about. It should be a rough season for Browns fans, although I think that RG3 could be a bright spot.
I think it's kind of funny that the quarterback and two of the receivers all went to Baylor.
Yeah. Redskins, Texans, Bills, three teams that recently invested money in quarterback,
right,
but not necessarily long-term money. Kirk Cousins on a franchise tag. Tyrod Taylor's new contract
three
includes...
3 years or 4 years?
I think it's the extension, whatever the extension is, it doesn't matter because they could cut him after this year and he is owed no guaranteed money next year.
Okay.
And then you have Brock Osweiler. Yeah, 4 years, $72 million sounds like a lot, but they can get out of a lot of that if he's bad. And Bill O'Brien's not going to want to sit around after a 16-game sample of Brock Osweiler being bad and just run it back. Bill O'Brien needs to win.
Right. Out of the three, I think Tyrod Taylor and the Bills are the more likely to be bad and draft a quarterback. I think...
Of the three, I think Tyrod Taylor is the most likely to be good and that the Bills are the most likely to be bad. They're being ravaged by injuries.
But
we talked about... rookies or injuries. I mean, Shaq Lawson.
Oh, Reggie Ragland.
Like, that's horrible.
And I think he's not a rookie, but they lost that IK Impernal.
Whatever, it doesn't matter.
But yeah, they've been decimated by injury. But if Tyrod has a good year and the Bills don't, do they still draft the quarterback?
Depends who's going to be the coach next year.
That's a fair point. That's a fair point.
A lot of factors there.
A lot of people are talking about Rex Ryan being on the hot seat.
He's going to get fired if they're not 8-8, 9-7, if they're not pushing the playoffs.
Would it? This would be tragic and hilarious at the same time, but if they fire Rex and for whatever reason promote Rob Ryan, that would just make me...
That's the craziest thing you've ever said.
Wouldn't that be really funny if they did that? I don't think they would.
They could do it with no one noticing as long as Rob agreed to get a haircut.
But I think, you talk about quarterbacks that fit. It's hard to say.
Let's assume that all, with the exception of the Browns could just tank and they could be in the Watson-Kaya sweepstakes.
Right.
You would think, I think the Redskins might tank that way because I didn't like Kirk Cousins before his great run last year. The Texans and the Bills should be good enough to not really be in that top tier.
I was going to say the Texans and the Redskins would be there because I think their defense is good enough to kind of push them. The Bills' defense is good enough as well, but they've been hit by injury.
So you're looking there. Like, is there any other quarterbacks based on what you've watched that you would consider taking in the first round, but maybe not in the top 10?
I would say Chad Kelly is a guy who I think would fit anywhere. I think he's like I was talking about Watson.
Mental issues.
Yeah. But wouldn't Buffalo be the great place?
There's a difference between character issues and mental issues, by the way. Like, Chad Kelly, when I'm talking about mental issues, I mean, he's making bad decision after bad decision on the field and off. His arm talent's great, but some of the throws he makes just don't make any sense to me.
Wouldn't Buffalo be the right place for him then? Because
with Uncle Jim looming over his shoulder,
he's got that, and on top of that, what is there to do in Buffalo? He can kind of focus on football and kind of taper those bad decisions down. Washington's another place I think would be nice. I look at personally, if he could put all those issues aside and played good football, I would love him on the Giants. And that's the next group we're going to talk about. But I think, I would like Chad Kelly to go to a place where he can just focus on football and there's no distractions.
I think he's got. I definitely think Chad Kelly's got first round talent. I don't think he'll end up being a first round prospect. What I love about being a computer NFL draft analyst, where I could sit on my couch and watch film on YouTube, is that I never have to consider whether this is a good financial investment. Like, I can just say, Chad Kelly has NFL skills, which is nice. Are there any other quarterbacks you saw that you would think first round? Like, the Texans are drafting 16th. Is there a guy?
Anybody else would be a reach, I think. Anybody else would be a reach.
I know Mason Rudolph has gotten some buzz. Some people like Luke Falk. Some people like C.J. Beathard.
I was watching some film on Mason Rudolph, and you know, not to jump ahead, but none of the film I saw did he take a snap on the center, and you know, that's, it's not my concern, but it's a concern that NFL teams tend to
have. Probably get back to discussing that when we're talking about other teams that are looking to draft in the very late 20s.
Right.
Might reconsider some of these other players. The Bears and the Dolphins are kind of in between groups. Like, they're in between where the Texans are, where they have a young quarterback, unproven.
Mm-hmm.
The Dolphins and the Bears are probably in a spot where they know exactly what their quarterback is, but they probably secretly know they can't really do better. But if things go wrong, and maybe they get up towards the top, do you think either of them has the guts to take a quarterback?
I think the Bears do. I don't know if the Dolphins do. Not yet. I think the Dolphins are willing to. They just gave Ryan Tannehill $96 million. I think
he's another one. If they get out this year, they're okay. If after this year, they're not. They don't have another chance to get out of that contract.
That's fair. But I think the Bears are more likely because, like you said, they know what they got in Jay Cutler. They know what Jay Cutler is. He's not changing. And if he has a bad year, especially with the weapons he's got, Alshon Jeffrey, Kevin White. I mean, he's got the weapons. And if they, for whatever reason, go 5-11, 6-10. I think this is the year the Bears would say, all right, you know what? I think we've had enough. Let's cut bait on Jay Cutler and go forward. Then they would be in a spot where they wouldn't necessarily be able to get like a top 10 guy. But I think
they might. If things go bad enough, they might.
Right. But let's say they go 6-10. Right. And that puts them right in the top 10. Do they reach? Well, they wouldn't. Maybe they wouldn't have to. But do they take a Chad Kelly? Do they take a Mason Rudolph? I think it's likely. More likely than the Dolphins.
Better for those two teams than the Redskins and the Browns. Those teams can afford to wait till the second round and bring them up. Like, are you a backup, but you might be able to compete for that starting job quicker than most? The next group is the group where we know who their quarterback's going to be in 2017. The Saints, the Giants, the Chargers, the Chiefs, the Cardinals. None of these five teams are really looking to move on. They're all in win-now mode. They're all should be looking to make one last run at the playoffs or at a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
But they need to really start thinking about going forward. Absolutely. They're not going to be. They're not going to get Watson. They're not going to get Kaya. Jumping in the first round, late in the first round, guy like Mason Rudolph.
Mm-hmm.
Late in the first round, a guy like Chad Kelly. There's a few other quarterbacks that could be intriguing.
Like I said, as a Giants fan, I would love Chad Kelly. I think Chad Kelly is a nice player. I think he's dynamic enough, and he's got, you know, to fit in. I think he'd be a great fit with what the Giants want to do, or what Ben McAdoo wants to do. I think if you can grab him in the second or third round, I think it's likely. The only problem is, you don't know how much longer Eli's going to play. I mean, Eli could
never
play.
Never misses a game.
Right. Eli could play the next, he could be 2 years or six. You really can't tell because he's steady. He's consistent. You can even make the case he's gotten better since Ben McAdoo's come over.
Make the case that it wasn't that hard to improve on.
Exactly. When you're throwing 20-something interceptions, it's kind of hard not to cut that down. But I think he is 36 years old. He's been in the league for 13 years. He's not going to play forever. Ryan Nassib is awful, and it wouldn't be a bad idea to start looking at a guy who, in the future, could be your guy. And the same goes for the Saints. The same goes for the Cardinals. I mean,
you can literally say the same exact thing you just said for the Chargers. Absolutely. To the point with the age, how long they've been in the league, with the exception of Rivers.
Has had some injuries. I was going to say
Rivers is a little bit, you know, better of a quarterback.
That's fine.
Looks more promising. That's fine. Going forward. But still, like, you need to start having, not like the guy you draft is definitely going to be the next heir apparent.
Need options.
But you need to have an option.
Yeah.
If that truck, you know, falls short a little quicker.
Who's the backup in San Diego? Is it Whitehurst still?
I hope not.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you need options.
Yeah.
The Saints been drafting quarterbacks. No.
I mean,
you got to draft. You always have to have a young quarterback on the roster.
They're gonna throw Drew Brees out there until he can't lift his arm. And what is it, 39? Come on, I mean, it's time to start looking.
The Cardinals and the Chiefs, that those teams could be looking even quicker. Alex right. Smith never lights the world on fire. I know they right. love him. I really like the way that they use him.
Mm-hmm.
And Carson Palmer, I mean, he looked like an MVP candidate. If he mm-hmm. plays 4 or 5 more seasons like last year, he's bumping back into the Hall of Fame conversation that we thought that he completely was out of after those injuries early in his career.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, those teams might want to think about, hey, use a pick in the late 20s on a quarterback and in the next 2 or 3 years, the same way the Broncos did with Paxton
yep,
Lynch.
Like, yep.
We need to have something ready that's a little bit more immediate.
And absolutely.
Maybe those teams can't wait till the second round to hope that they get a guy who has the ability to play in this league.
Perfect. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, well said. I mean, like, you talk about the Chiefs, same thing with Alex Smith. He's never really impressed me. Like, he's nice. He does the job. But, you know, going forward, is just above mediocre is what you're going to settle for? I think they should have tried to do a better job keeping Chase Daniel. But, you know, it is what it is.
Chase Daniel got a lot of money to be a backup. A few more quarterbacks that are going to be in that mix. Patrick Mahomes, people really like him. I don't like him at all. I think he's super Roy. He's the Texas Tech guy. Not a Texas Tech guy. You know, he's definitely bigger. He's definitely got a stronger arm. He can really run. He's super athletic. He's not Graham Harrell,
mm-hmm.
but
he's no Cliff Kingsbury.
But he's not. He has a long way to go before he looks like an NFL player. You could probably say the same thing about Luke Falk, who's in that high octane spread offense for Mike Leach in Washington State.
Who's the Iowa guy?
C.J. Beathard, probably not saying his name right, but he's in the pro style system, so he's under center all the time. I watched 2 of his games. He makes a couple throws that are just like, wow, that is an NFL throw. Most of them, really not so impressive. And Big Ten quarterback, not putting up big numbers. He's got a long way to go. Davis Webb, I don't know if you caught the Cal-Hawaii game.
I didn't.
Actual college football from this year. Davis Webb, he's another Texas Tech guy who's transplanted to a mm-hmm. Cal guy, trying to live up to what Jared Goff did last year.
Mm-hmm.
Throwing a lot of screens, getting a lot of yards after the catch. Really bad tackling on both sides of the ball in that game.
So his numbers are going to be skewed.
His numbers are going to be huge.
Was he the one that put up like 6 touchdowns? Or was that... Because I think I caught highlights of that game.
I think he threw 4 touchdowns, but he threw for like 400 and something yards.
That's okay, yeah. It was some ridiculous number that I saw.
Yeah, he really executed the offense well. The throws, the arm strength. Some people say that he's a better prospect than Goff in terms of the tools. But Goff had some special qualities in mm-hmm. terms of ability to manipulate the pocket. Other guys you'll be hearing of this season, Mitch Leidner, the quarterback from Minnesota,
mm-hmm.
dual threat guy, has some ability, some arm strength. At first they were thinking he might be one of those senior guys who would get you excited. He's kind of fallen down. Unless a lot of these guys stay in school, he's probably not going to be looked at as a top 5 quarterback. Some people really like Seth Russell out of Baylor.
I do.
That's a little tough to take, just even to think about a Baylor guy at this point. If Bryce Petty can't make headway at all with the Jets, it's hard. I hate to say it,
but
like
our Bryles isn't there now, so maybe that slightly different coaching staff.
I don't think the scheme's going to change. JT Barrett, the same thing. Like, no one thought he was an NFL guy before Cardell took his job.
Right.
Now that he's got it back. Great college quarterback.
He'd have to do a lot.
One guy who is interesting is DeShone Kizer, who might not win the Notre Dame job, but he's a big guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's way more athletic than you'd imagine for his size.
Faster than he looks.
Yeah, and he's got that huge arm. A lot of accuracy problems. You don't want to compare him to Cam Newton, because Cam Newton in college was a sensation. Nobody mm-hmm. was going to challenge him for a job.
Right.
But Kizer kind of has that same look. Doing it for Notre Dame. He's throwing to some good receivers. I don't know if he'll beat out Malik Zaire for that job, but I know that if he puts together a good season, he might be what we thought Cardale Jones was going to be heading into this year.
I think Brian Kelly likes Malik Zaire a lot. I think he was really disappointed, obviously, when a lot of Notre Dame fans were when he went down. I think he's going to give him every opportunity to take that job back from DeShone Kizer. But judging Kizer from the sample size we saw last year, I think he's a capable quarterback. And if he can win that job, I think he can be sneaky.
He's got real NFL potential in terms of just the arm strength and the size, the speed. Mm-hmm. He could be one of those guys. If he wins the job, it could sneak up as the third quarterback challenging Kyan Watson.
Right.
His upside is much higher than everyone, with the exception of Chad Kelly. And Chad Kelly is going to be brought down by off-the-field issues and questions that are going to keep him out of that conversation.
Pretty much being at Ole Miss.
Yeah, that doesn't help.
It's just an asylum down there. But
we'll be looking at these quarterbacks all year, especially as team needs start to really crystallize. And draft order really crystallizes.
Yeah.
And we'll be revisiting them. I think next week we're probably going to talk about running backs.
I'm excited about a lot of them.
There's a lot of guys that'll be there. And frankly, if anybody's had a fantasy draft recently, there's probably a lot of situations that could come in and really use the number one back.
Absolutely.
This is probably the end of our football talk. For any NFL draft questions, you can always get either of us at Twitter. I'm at Rob DeRay.
I'm at Funny Man Stan.
Or you can look us up on Twitter, at NFL Draft Podcast, or email us at draftpodcast@gmail.com. We're going to answer any of your questions or take any of your suggestions, or if you just want to berate us and curse at us, I thrive on it.
If you want to tell me how I shouldn't root for Miami, or you want to tell me to stop talking about Miami, I welcome that, because I'm not going to stop.
He's not going to stop. It's going to empower him. He's going to spend 5 minutes talking about how you don't want him to talk about it.
Right.
Next up, we're going to come back with a little bit of fun. No more football talk. If you don't give a crap about music or the Beatles or us having fun.
Or if you do, just keep listening.
I would stay. This could be fun.
I'm ready for it.
Now in the non-football section of this podcast, we are doing a mock draft of 12 current top 100 Billboard artists, variety of different genres, arrange them randomly, and we're going to mock draft what Beatles song, if they had a choice, would they cover?
Can I tell you, I learned a lot of Beatles songs. Two, I learned that I know more Beatles songs than I thought I did.
I knew you would.
I have at least 12 to 15 right here that I didn't realize. I thought I was like, all right, I know five Beatles songs. There's a lot more.
Yeah, you had a ton. My original list, I narrowed it down to 36 songs before. I was like, all right, these are the 36 that we have to mention.
You know, it's funny. They're almost underrated, how good the Beatles are. I didn't realize. There's a lot of good songs here. Songs that I didn't even know they were theirs. But let's get into it.
All right, for anyone who's listening and wants to get excited in advance, the draft order, completely random. Stan is going to be picking first, me picking second, back and forth all the way through 12.
Mm-hmm.
First pick is Future. Second pick, Kanye West. Third pick, Taylor Swift. Fourth pick, Sia. Fifth, Blake Shelton. Sixth, Rihanna. Seven, Katy Perry. Eight, Justin Timberlake. Nine, Justin Bieber. 10, Ariana Grande. 11, Adele. 12, Drake. We're going to go 1 through 11. We're going to try to blow through it. Future's up on the clock.
All right. So I thought about this with the first pick in this draft. Future goes with Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
Okay.
Now, I picked that because we all know Future is a fan of extracurriculars. He's always talking about, lean and perp and other stuff like that. I think he sees right through the, he sees right through it. He knows Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds is a bit of a drug song, if you want to call it that. I think he picks Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
All right, fair pick for Kanye West. Drafting second, you left. See, Kanye West could have gone in a multitude of different ways.
I was afraid of that.
Has a lot of needs. If he was picking later in this draft, he'd be one of those guys. He'd be okay. He'd mm-hmm. find something else that
best
fits
player
him.
Available.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? Because he's picking second, he's not going to go with a weird choice or like he's not going to subvert what you're thinking. He's going at the top of the big board, A Day in the Life. It's a song literally about, you know, Paul McCartney and John Lennon each sing, you know, Paul McCartney, A Day in My Life, woke up out of bed, mm-hmm. comb across my head.
Mm-hmm.
John Lennon is talking about like the tragedies that happen every day. You read in the paper. Kanye West, I think he could really go into the day in the life of a superstar that we don't know, because Kanye West is that much of a genius. We can never understand a day in his life. But then also deal with some more serious topics. There's a reason it's one of the best, possibly a top five, top three, top one Beatles song for a lot of fans.
Okay.
Kanye West takes it.
All right. Number three, Taylor Swift. I think she is the kind of person where she appreciates a good cover. So not only is she going to do a cover, she's going to do a cover of a cover. Come Together.
Ooh.
I figure.
I didn't even know that was a cover.
Well, it's not.
It's because it's from Chuck Berry.
Not just that, but like Michael Jackson also
did Come Together. I understand what you mean.
So I think Taylor Swift is going to take up that mantle because she wants to be included in that group. I think because, I mean, what she won Album of the Year the same year that Michael Jackson was up for it, and that's unfathomable. I think she's going to continue to spit on the grave of the great Michael Jackson and do a cover of Come Together.
All right. Next up, we have Sia. I think that she's a little odd. She loves having a nice beat to it. You know, it's pop, but it's kind of dance music too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving her Across the Universe.
Ooh, okay.
You know, it's a little weird. It's a little out there. It'll give her a chance to give a little vocal range, mm-hmm. but not too much that she can't handle it. And it has, I feel like you could make those verses go real upbeat.
Okay.
Across the Universe for Sia.
Number five, Blake Shelton. I thought about it. What does he do? He's a country guy. I'm not a country fan, but I can imagine what he'd want to go for. I say he takes Hey Jude. I think he puts a country twang on it. You know, makes it more of like a sound like a more country thing. Maybe he's talking about his dog named Jude, his grandfather named Jude, or somebody named Jude. I don't know.
He could change the name. He could do
it. Yeah, he could do that. I think Blake Shelton, Hey Jude. That's the pick.
That's a good one. Rihanna's up six. I feel like Rihanna's another one who could have gone many directions. Rihanna,
right.
My personal favorite probably is Rihanna, by the way. I was really hoping to get her, not realizing how hard it would be. I gave her Eleanor Rigby.
Ooh, okay. You know, that's one of my board that you took off, but you know, it's fine.
It does a lot of different things in that mm-hmm. song. It gives her a chance to show off the vocal range, but it's mm-hmm. still upbeat. Like,
plus the violins.
With Rihanna, you're either going one of two ways, really. You're either going, you know, super upbeat, like mm-hmm. getting people dancing, or you're going with the power ballad. Not a lot of power ballads on the board, and I had to give her upbeat. It's right in her alley. It fits in need. I think it would be a big hit.
Okay. All right, number seven, Katy Perry. I struggled with this one because I was like, what could Katy Perry do? She does have the vocal range. But
Typical pop star.
She's a pop artist. So I figured she'd go with Yellow Submarine. I think that's something that's a little fun. She could play around with it, maybe speed it up, slow it down, do whatever she wants to do with it.
I wouldn't have thought that because the song is such trash. It's trashest of all Beatles songs. But you know what? Maybe thinking of some of the videos that she's put out,
mm-hmm.
maybe I could see her doing
really
something
colorful,
something
you know?
Interesting
yeah.
with it. Likely would be the worst song you could possibly pick from the Beatles, but
I like the fit.
You like the fit. He likes the fit. All right, I got Justin Timberlake up eighth. I'm taking All My Lovin'.
Ooh,
it's a little bit low key. It was played a big part of the movie Across the Universe, but not necessarily known by everyone. But it's a sweet song. It's not quite so slow that it's going to have him singing like alone, like Adele, like in the spotlight. But it kind of has the same pacing as your Cry Me a River, mm-hmm. your Mirrors. And I think it fits his, not only his vocal range where he could do something with it, but it just fits his persona. He's got a love song. It's in his tempo.
Mm-hmm.
It works for him.
Number 9, I think this is the best pick that I've made outside of the future one. I'm going to go with Can't Buy Me Love. I think Justin Bieber is in that kind of that mind state where he's saying, you know, I don't need a woman with me. Remember, he's got a hit now where one of the lines is, my mama don't like you, but she likes everyone. I think Justin Bieber is still in that kind of mindset. Money can't buy me love.
That's a good pick. 10, Ariana Grande. This is one of my favorite fits to the artist. I'm giving her Get Back. Get Back.
I actually heard that for the first time today.
It has that big band swing that's kind of right up her alley. It's almost Broadway. She can kind of get it. She can exaggerate it. And she could, out of all the songs, like, I hope no one takes this offense to Paul McCartney and John Lennon or George Harrison or Ringo if you're a Yellow Submarine fan. These guys aren't guys who are really going to blow you away with their vocals in terms of, you know, those big, like, they're subtle guys. They're getting the words out. They're closer to Bob Dylan than they are to Steven Tyler. I think Ariana Grande takes advantage of one of the songs where you could really, you know, let the pipes go.
Okay. Number 11, we got Adele.
Speaking of someone who could let the pipes go,
right?
You need a song that you really yell.
And, you know, you talk about Across the Universe and the movie I saw, and this is, at the time, I didn't realize it was a Beatles song, but I enjoy it. Strawberry Fields Forever. I think it gives her an opportunity to really sing, and it's a slow-paced song, and she can really, you know, get into it and really get it, you know, really blow.
It's a good pick, good pick. I would have had, choose the one I didn't want.
Okay.
I thought I would have had trouble finding a song. I mean, she's known for just being able to hit, really break glass with how loud.
Exactly.
And how, you know, in a good way, I'm sure. But not a predicament I wanted to see myself in. Finishing it off, Drake. This one could have went in a multitude of directions.
I did not envy you. And I'm interested to see where you're gonna go with this because I thought one way.
Right. I have to say, like in my little mini big board I made for Drake, he did come away with the song he had won on his big board. You know, assuming that Day in the Life, things like that were off. I'm giving Drake All You Need Is Love.
I thought about that.
It's a classic. Like it's an immediately recognizable Beatles song. I feel like it's something that he could make into any depressing crap that he wants with his slightly uplifting tone to it. I feel like Drake, this is one of the toughest songs to probably recreate because outside of the life that it took with the Beatles, it's probably more boring than you remember.
It's slow.
Especially in the very beginning. It doesn't crawl. It doesn't have like a ton of difference in the lyrics. Like there's not like the verses aren't like really verbose. Drake's probably going to have to, you know, add his own full verse to kind of steal the chorus. But I feel like the themes and the ability to kind of be slow without being a ballad, it's something that Drake can do.
I thought you were going to go with I Want to Hold Your Hand because that's what he wants to do with people.
Taking shots, hey.
He's a nice guy. He's a gentleman. He's a gentleman.
Sure. Left a lot of good songs on the board.
Yeah.
A lot of good songs on the board for picks 13. I wanted to fit yesterday in with everyone. And it just, you know, just the fit's not there. The
Here
fit's
comes
not there.
The sun.
I thought that could have been a great...
Penny Lane.
Happiness is a Warm Gun would have been a great one. Even for, you know, if Kanye was drafting later, like, he might have avoided All You Need Is Love. He might have went with a weirder song like Happiness is a Warm Gun, I've Just Seen a Face.
I Am the Walrus?
I
was thinking about that one.
That would have been there. With a little help from my friends.
Yep.
You know, a lot of these. And then you have some of the other slower songs that, you know, Rihanna could have done something. But, yeah, if you pick between that and Eleanor Rigby early in the draft, like, I think you just... Eleanor Rigby's a little higher on the board, but the fit still would have been there.
I think A Hard Day's Night is another one.
Yeah, there's tons.
Yeah, yeah.
We just went 1 through 12, and neither of us picked Let It Be.
Oh,
and that's probably the most well-known and probably still sung. Like, that's the karaoke song that you might sing.
This was fun.
We'll get a better one next week.
Oh, this is...
Well, next week we'll probably go back to a big board. I'll probably try to alternate them.
Yeah.
This has been the NFL Draft Podcast. I'm Rob DeRay.
I'm Stan Tellewy.
Find us on Twitter. You can email the pod. We will, as much as we like NFL draft questions, if you email us at draftpodcast@gmail.com, anything regarding the Beatles or September movies or whatever we pick next week.
Anything, really.
That would probably make us both happier. Yeah. I spent way more time thinking about the Beatles this week than I did about quarterback. I'm looking at Luke Falk tape like an hour before the podcast, but my big board for the Beatles is set a week ago.
I learned so much about the Beatles. It's ridiculous. I didn't realize how many songs I liked.
It's been a good episode of the NFL Draft Podcast. See you next week.
Thanks for listening.